Green Zone here on VSiN on a Saturday afternoon. It's officially every afternoon everywhere here in the continental U.S. We'll get to us in a little bit.
We don't know what time of day it is anymore, with the Olympics, of course, being 16 hours ahead on the West Coast in Tokyo, 13 ahead on Eastern Time Zone. So it is now 4 a.m. in Tokyo. So no events going on live, at least right now.
You would know better than me. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Wes Reynolds. Again, we have to get used to this with the Olympic Games. Tokyo this year, Beijing next year. So we're going to have a rough go of it seeing some of these events live here on the West Coast, unless we really want to mess up our sleep patterns, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. So there were some live in the middle of the night that I watched last night before I laid my head down to sleep. So it was fun to see something live, but obviously the Olympics, it's a television event.
Yes, of course.
As we know.
So that's why they're having it this year.
So NBC, look, and the ratings don't really adjust, to be honest with you, Jeff, because people want to watch the stuff in prime time when they're at work, especially during the week. So, you know, a lot of the big stuff, like the big swimming heats and races and track and field, that's going to be shown in primetime. So if you want to watch it live, you have to find other means of doing so.
Well, and again, keep in mind, most of the Olympic audience aren't traditional sports fans.
Yes.
That's always why it doesn't matter that, again, it was a little bit different in Beijing, the summer games, because that was when Michael Phelps was at the peak. Mm-hmm. They managed to show all those races live and flip the schedule, where even though it was 8 o'clock in the morning in Beijing, it worked out for American television audiences.
Yes. So find your alternative means, find your Peacock, find your NBC Olympics channel or some other streams out there on the interwebs, and see if you can watch this live if that's what you want to do.
Wes, let's go to what's going live here in the States. Let's start in the Twin Cities, the 3M Open. Wes, you have a few tickets that are pretty live here as we head into the third round in greater Minneapolis.
I do. I don't have the leader, though, right now, that being Canadian Roger Sloan, who now has a two-shot lead over the entire field, currently 3-under on his round, 12-under overall. Roger Sloan never has won yet on the PGA Tour. Obviously, a big week for Roger Sloan. He came into this week at 147 in the FedEx Cup standings. So you've got about 3 weeks, because keep in mind, no PGA Tour event next week because of the Olympics. So you got basically three events, including this one, to get inside that 125 to get in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He has a two-shot lead over Ricky Fowler, who's kind of been coming along of late, 10 under par. He is on the back nine. He was about one spot inside the 125, so he needs to go well here. Cameron Champ also at 10 under, Gary Woodland. The two you mentioned that I have, Johnny Vegas, 10-under, 1-under on his round today. Bo Hogue, also 10-under, 1 on his round today. Bo Hogue was the real anomaly, and I bet him this week at 110-1. He is 125, the last guy in right now in the FedEx Cup standings. 125 has yet to post a top 10 finish this year. So I thought, you know what? And I saw that tweet, and sometimes I go down narrative street with these golf futures. I was like, you know what? This is the week he's going to contend. He actually should have got a top 10 last week at the Barbasol, but had a bogey late and put him to 11th. But those are your current leaders right now at the 3M Open. Current in-play prices, by the way, at BetMGM. Gary Woodland, 13-2 is the favorite. Roger Sloan, 15-2. Cameron Champ, also 15-2. Bo Hogue, 17-2. Johnny Vegas, 10-1. Ricky Fowler, 11-1. Cam Tringali, also 11-1.
Right now, actually, Wes, at DraftKings, looking at the live odds, Gary Woodland is now the betting favorite at 7-1.
Yes.
Sloan, Hogue, Cam Champ, who I mentioned to Brady earlier in the week as a potential play for me, and of course naturally didn't play it, even though he was upwards of 150-1 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Tringali at 9-1, and then Maverick McNealy, the only guy shorter than 10-1 the rest of the way.
Yeah, Maverick, a really good putter, of course, lives right here in Las Vegas with his paramour. LPGA Tour player Danielle Kang will be making her way over to Tokyo as part of the women's U.S. Olympic team for golf. That'll be the second week of the Olympics.
The both golf tournaments next weekend, the men's side and the women's side, Jon Rahm, shocking development there that Jon Rahm is currently the betting favorite to win in Tokyo.
Very good field at the top. Morikawa, DeChambeau, Thomas, Schauffele, the American contingent, Rory McIlroy, Paul Casey. A lot of guys in the mix here, but it's wide open. It's only 60 players, by the way, for these Olympic fields starting next week.
And also, too, one other handicappable thing we'll talk about a little bit later, looking at two guys who actually skipped the Open Championship because of what a gold medal would mean for their futures. It is the Green Zone here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. He's Wes Reynolds. It is a Saturday afternoon here in Vegas. at Circa, as always. Wes, let's just dive in, though, to the news that came out last evening. Aaron Rodgers, as the Aaron Turns, is our guy Tim Murray, will say on the nightcap. There are reports out there and multiple sports books across the country, DraftKings, PointsBet, and the Superbook, the three most predominant ones to do so, that the Packers season total win odds off the board, the NFC North odds off the board, even some for some of those books, even Chicago Bear, Minnesota Viking, Detroit Lions win totals popping off the board last night because of the news that Aaron Rodgers, the expectation from these books is Aaron Rodgers is going to announce his retirement at some point in this upcoming week. The odds you see on your screen right now are the odds that popped this morning here behind us at Circa. The Minnesota Vikings, now you're betting favorite in the North at plus 125. Green Bay, even with all the question marks, plus 195. The Bears at plus 335. And then the Lions, a shade over 15-1 to win the NFC North. Green Bay's win total down to 8.5 from either 9.5 or 10, depending on when you hopped in or did not hop in earlier, Wes. Just look, we understand how big of a loss it would be to go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, the league's MVP, who still has it even at the age of 38, to a guy we've never seen play in an NFL game, Wes. And there's also the Davante Adams news yesterday that he cut off extension talks. All is not well in Green Bay at the moment.
No, it's not. And Tim Murray doing the soap opera references.
Yes.
I should be doing the soap opera references, as I'm the only one, I think, on this network that at least will admit that they watch. So like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives here this summer with Aaron Rodgers, this saga. It looked like maybe it was going to be like, okay, we didn't get a deal after the draft, even though it was reported, okay, he's going to be going to Denver. And then we didn't get a deal, so it's like, well, time heals all wounds, and he's going to probably go ahead and sign here, because financially, at least, in terms of the amount of dollars, it would be better for him to obviously return to Green Bay. But I mean, I've never known what to make of this, really, Jeff, because of the different drama here in terms of, you know, maybe it's just Aaron kind of being Aaron here. We know a talented player, obvious lock, stock, and barrel first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's kind of a pain in the butt to coach, and he's kind of a pain in the butt
slightly
to deal with. Yes, yeah. And so you just figure, oh, it's Aaron being Aaron, but apparently this is stuff's starting to get real now as we get closer to where training camp is about to begin for these teams in very short order. So you seen an adjustment in the division, but when you look at the NFC North, who is really ready to take over that spot? I mean, it's not like, okay, he's there. If the Packers would be in the NFC West, where it's like, well, then anybody behind him can win, and then you really got to smash the odds. But Minnesota's still got a lot of question marks. The defense, not quite Mike Zimmer standards, really, over the last couple years. And, you know, Minnesota's just kind of like, eh, they're kind of there. They're okay. Chicago, what are they going to do? In terms of, I remember we were talking to Chuck Esposito over at Sunset Station, the race and sports director out in Henderson, and he is, of course, a Chicago native, Chicago Bears fan. He's saying, look, if 12's not in the division, there may be the temptation for Matt Nagy to go with Justin Fields right away, despite the fact that you gave Andy Dalton $10 million in Chicago. I still expect he's going to be at least the week one starter, but maybe they say, you know what, we traded up for this kid, the people want him, let's give the people what they want, maybe when they least expect it, with Justin Fields. And then, of course, Detroit at the bottom, they are an absolute rebuild across the board.
So you bring up one interesting point in there, Wes, for sure, the Bears point of if Aaron Rodgers isn't there and it's Jordan Love out of the gate, the temptation to play Justin Fields right away, especially if his camp it'll be interesting to see how much starters actually play in the preseason
right
now, after seeing last year with no preseason that guys were perfectly fine right out of the chute, even without playing any preseason games. But Wes, the temptation to play Justin Fields will be real, because I think you and I agree here that Andy Dalton at this point is a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a starter in this league. Justin Fields, even though, again, you'll have rookie growing pains, of course, it gives you a better chance to win more games than Andy Dalton does at this point. And you look at the Bears' schedule on your screen right now. Look, they're a touchdown underdog week one at the Rams. I don't care who plays quarterback in that game. They're losing that game,
yes,
unless if Stafford gets turnover happy. But those next four games, you have at Cleveland, which they're going to be a big underdog against. They're going to lose that one. we'll include Green Bay week six at home in this. The other four games in that five-game stretch, Cincinnati, the Packers at home in week six, the Lions at home in week four, and then here in Vegas against the Raiders. What's stopping the Bears from winning all four of those games if Justin Fields is playing quarterback, Wes?
Yeah, you got to think that the defense always remains solid in Chicago. I've never been really high on Matt Nagy personally, but the people do want Justin Fields. They went through the whole thing with Mitch Trubisky where he showed you at least a little bit of life, and then it was like, well, maybe he's just not that good, and Matt Nagy obviously felt that he couldn't work with Mitch Trubisky, so now he is a backup in Buffalo. So, you know, just looking at the week one, too, and I want to flip back to the Packers for just a moment. This was 2.5. Now pretty much seeing 3.5 of those books that do have prices up on this game, and a lot of them are at faraway places. I believe BetMGM, if my Don Best screen is not lying to me, still has New Orleans -3, as does the South Point. A lot of these shops, though, have taken week one Packers and Saints down. The Saints, who have their own questions, like who's going to be their quarterback? Now, they at least have two people in the system, whereas you're going to have Jordan Love, essentially a rookie, if he's the one that's going to go. So you have seen that adjustment here now with New Orleans up from 2.5 to 3.5. So I fully expect probably the books, once they all reprice it, are going to put that out at that price.
I will say this, Wes. If New Orleans ends up, or excuse me, if Jordan Love ends up playing quarterback for Green Bay, if it's Jameis Winston for New Orleans, I would be willing to lay 3.5, 4 in that game. If it's Taysom Hill, then it's a complete stay off. And also, right, too, the other thing we have to keep in mind with New Orleans, no Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, it was announced yesterday that he had surgery on his ankle, that it was bugging him the entire 2020 season. Kind of surprised that he waited till June in order to have the surgery.
Right.
But he's going to be out at least for a few weeks at the top of the season. We just don't know how long yet. The assumption is he'll be the first 4 weeks. New Orleans does have an early bye, though, so if he misses 6 weeks, it's really only 5 games.
And he was the candidate for the bounce-back year. Of
yes.
course, he did have some disciplinary issues that caused him a suspension, dealt with a little bit of an injury as well, but he was ineffective, basically, because Drew Brees couldn't get the ball down the field anymore. And if you can't get the ball down the field to the guy, then the guy's pretty useless as a weapon, so New Orleans, look, I still think that they have plenty of talent down there, especially they did lose a little bit defensively. Now, I still think they're going to be a solid unit, but maybe the market has gotten a little bit too lukewarm on them. And I think it's because of the division they're in, because Tampa Bay is such a favorite and they're pretty much bringing everybody back, all 22 starters back from that Super Bowl team. So Tampa Bay is going to be priced to the moon. The team in that division a little bit down the board that I like, that I bet over season wins, is Carolina. But I think maybe we're pushing New Orleans a little bit too far down the pecking order, and especially with this news that came out last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it was a newsworthy Friday
yes.
in the league. It really just came out of nowhere, too. The Devontae Adams news as well, cutting off extension talks with the Green Bay Packers. And also, I will say this, Wes. I understand why books, especially when they get information like they apparently did with Rodgers, I understand why everything came off the board. But with the Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers cryptic Instagram posts of the same Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen giving each other high fives, that shot that we saw in the Last Dance documentary, doesn't it make you think that they're actually coming back for one last go around, and that's that, instead of Rodgers saying that he's done for good on Wednesday
next week? You know, I don't know if they're playing games, and that's why I've always leaned to the point of, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. He's obviously not happy, but you know, what team right now can put together the package to do that deal? Because he had kind of put out there, at least through his representation and his people, that I wouldn't mind going to play to the West Coast. He's a California guy, played at Cal Berkeley for his college ball. So kind of some of the options dried up a little bit. San Francisco clearly dried up because they have a starting quarterback that they're about to run out of town here in a season with Jimmy G, and they did draft Trey Lance, so that option dried up. The Raiders, do they really have the assets? I don't know if they have the talent or the assets to acquire somebody like an Aaron Rodgers. Denver, I know, can make a little bit of sense, but they did sign Teddy Bridgewater, so now they have two guys competing for that job, Bridgewater and Locke. So a lot of these West Coast teams that Aaron Rodgers kind of preferred, those options dried up, and then the Stafford trade, obviously, to the LA Rams. So it's like, you know, somebody will try to move heaven and earth to get him, but the options are not as plentiful as you would think.
It's really two options. It's Vegas and it's Denver. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two options that you realistically see at this point. The Broncos, of course, you had the hysteria on draft night where the Broncos went from as high as 80-1 to win the Super Bowl at some spots to all the way down to 15-1.
And that's a good point that you made, because it was Mark Stinkschlereff, who does a radio show in Denver, still does some national games on the Fox Sunday package. I think he worked with Dick Stockton last year. But Mark Schlereff put it out there that, look, this looks like a done deal. So what happens? People react to social media. And that's kind of the fascinating thing about betting here in 2020 that we didn't have with betting in 1980 or 1990 or 2000, is that things react so quickly. And that's kind of the edge that now the players have, because it used to be the books had the information and had more access to the information than you do as bettors. Now that's not the case. Now you've got the ESPN on the satellite and all the breaking sports news. Now you've got a cell phone. Now you have Twitter. You have all this stuff. So you get the information, and it's basically just a race to the number. So it's like, can I bet this number while they've still got it hung here, or are they going to take it down before I get to the number? And that's basically what it is right now.
No, look, 100%, I'm with you. And look, you can, again, if you're quicker to the number than some of these books, go right ahead. And look, I'll say this too, Wes, especially with the NFL. It's very hard to beat these books on a weekly basis on Sunday. They have the most information that on any sport that you possibly can get is on the NFL.
And they're taking the most limits game day. And those limits aren't necessarily from just sharp guys. You know, I know we always hear, and a lot of our listeners are always like the content about what are the major wagers, whether it's our own Ben Fox or Patrick Everson or David Burdum or any other sources promoting major wager, BetMGM or William Hill took $300,000 on this. That doesn't mean that 300 grand is coming from a sharp guy. It might be coming from a rich guy. I mean, there are rich squares out there, by the way, that will bet this stuff. And then there are guys sharp as tacks that may only bet $50 or $100 that aren't going to move a number. So that's why it's so tough to beat it on Sunday. So you want to get in where you can kind of fit in. And really, it's about timing the market. It's about taking the right number, not necessarily taking the quote unquote right side.
No, we're only 5.5 weeks away, Wes. We're very close to being able to
get into these games. It seems like it should be 4 months away because, look, we just finished with the NBA Finals this week, which is usually done about a month ago in June. Now we have the Olympics starting, and it just seems like it should be so far away because I've been doing prep for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which will be out later this week, and I mean, I was looking, I was like, we got games in late August, and then it's like September 4th is the big day because I'm going through all the schedules for these teams because we're trying to maybe project either a pick or a bet or a lean at least on all these season win totals for these teams that we're previewing. And it's like, man, this is 5 weeks away. They're about to get two-a-day starting this week.
No, hey, look, it's the SEC Media Day. All the conference media days are these past week.
And now we're already getting the talk of conference realignment, of course.
Of course. You had the Texas legislature today trying to put a bill through to block Texas from going to the SEC.
Yeah, maybe we need to. I remember, I think, when Elgin Baylor was the GM of the LA Clippers, and Jim Rome used to always have this joke. Will somebody call Elgin Baylor and tell him the draft's tomorrow and wake him up? Will somebody call Kevin Warren, the Big Ten Conference Commissioner, and realize the power structure is changing in college football and the Big Ten needs to have a plan for that? I don't know if a plan is getting Iowa State and Kansas in your conference. I don't think that does a lot, at least for money. All it does is take two more teams that are getting more shares of the TV money.
I don't know. You go grab, if you're the Big Ten, you go try to grab one of those big ACC teams since the ACC is in right now the worst of the TV contracts.
It's all about media markets too, and that's no disrespect to Iowa State and Kansas, but
you already have Iowa.
I don't think that they really need the Kansas City media market. I'm sure that they would like the Dallas-Fort Worth market a little bit more, or one of the ones in the Southeast like Atlanta or something like that. So all of this is going to change. Texas and Oklahoma want to go to the SEC, so You know, it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect the Big 12. It's going to affect the Pac-12. It's going to affect the ACC, the American, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no, it'll be a fascinating few months. It feels like we're back in 2011 again. It's once
it
a
does.
Decade now where
it
you
does.
Get the realignment chicanery. Wes, quick update on the 3M Open. We have a tie at the top. It is Roger Sloan, the Canadian, still up there. But American Cameron Champ, who has really been in rough form up until last week.
Yeah.
And Cameron Champ tied for the lead right now with Roger Sloan. Both of those guys a shot ahead of Bo Hoag, who Wes has a ticket on. Charles Schwartzel, that's a name I haven't seen in a while. And then Gary Woodland, who, again, ever since winning that U.S. Open 2 years back, it has been kind of a slog for Woodland.
Yes, he has. So, and right now, Ricky Fowler just makes two bogeys in a row.
Yikes.
He is now down to 9 under par. But Schwartzel was a guy kind of like last week at the Barbasol. Didn't really show up, but this is a guy that has played some solid golf this year. He's showing some signs.
Wes, when we get back, we're going to update everyone on the one Major League Baseball game that's going right now on the north side of Chicago. And the Yankees and the Red Sox starting at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. The Yankees need one badly today. That's next on the Green Zone here on VSiN. Season just around the corner. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is the Green Zone. I'm Jeff Parles. He is Wes Reynolds. Happy to be with you from Circa in downtown Las Vegas on a Saturday, the next to last Saturday of July. Pretty amazing. We're a week from August tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Does not feel like it other than just the weather that we've had here over the last few weeks here in Vegas. One Major League Baseball game going on right now, and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in danger of making some really bad history today, Wes. There have only been in the National League since the mid-90s, since 1997, and let's actually date it even further here. In the last 55 years, make it Wes, and this is from the Elias Sports Bureau, the Diamondbacks, who are 30-69, are trying to avoid joining the 1997 Phillies, who started the season with 70 losses in their first 100 games. That Philly team was 30-70 in 97. If the Diamondbacks lose today to Chicago, the Cubs, they will join the ranks of that horrible Philly team. Right now, the Cubs lead 1-0 in the fourth inning. Cubs are -450 live at DraftKings.
Yeah, and this did move overnight. It was about 135, 140, close like 170 because Chris Bryant back in the lineup. We will see if he's going to get dealt within the next week from the Chicago Cubs. And they get a Diamondbacks team that, look, they just swept the Pirates, even though they did lose yesterday 8-3 in the matinee at Wrigley Field. But D-backs have been playing at least somewhat decent ball. Now, I expect that they're going to be a seller, at least probably, of Eduardo Escobar. You would think he's going to be on the move. Some interest for teams of getting a little bit of pop, getting another bat in their lineup. The Cubs, now 2 games under .500. We kind of thought maybe that they were going to be, maybe not total sellers, where they're completely dumping payroll like a Marlins-style dump here, but you got to think that they're going to part ways. I don't think Jock Peterson necessarily is a major piece to part with, which they did last week. But Craig Kimbrel, they're getting calls on Craig Kimbrel. I can tell you that. Jed's phone is ringing a lot, maybe even from the 323 area code out in Los Angeles to see if they want to bring Craig Kimbrell to Dodger Stadium. Also, Chris Bryant, you would think, would be on the move. They're going to move with a couple pieces because I don't think the Cubs are catching the Brewers.
My guess would be Kimbrell is the one that's going to be the most sought after.
That's the one that they'll get the best return on
right
now.
Because he's under contract next year, and there is such a dearth of elite relief pitching in baseball right now.
There's a lot of people that need it. The Phillies, the Dodgers.
Really, in all honesty, Wes, other than the Brewers, which I'd have a hard time seeing the Cubs trading Kimbrell in division, unless if the return from Milwaukee was just so good. But the Brewers don't really have much that they would be able to give in return for Kimbrell. That would make a lot of sense for the Cubs. But look, the Mets wouldn't hurt them to have extra relief pitching with Diaz struggling the last few times out. The Phillies, well-documented need relief pitching. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers, again, earlier this week, Kenley Jansen back-to-back blown saves, and that's why the Dodgers aren't in first place today.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to think Kimbrell. And look, Kimbrell looked like, what was it, in 2019 had his worst year ever.
Yeah, he was not good.
Looked like he was washed up, and then obviously the COVID season. But now he has kind of responded a little bit. So somebody's going to go and get him. I think for sure he is going to move. We shall see with Bryant. I got to think one of these expiring bat contracts for the Chicago Cubs got to be moved here in the next week.
Yeah, no, I anticipate Bryant and Kimbrell. Those are the two that go. Baez still feels like the guy that the Cubs would overpay and bring back and have him just be the face of the franchise. Rizzo, there, as odd as it is, other than Boston, there isn't the great fit out there for Rizzo for the true competitor.
No, there's not. Maybe he comes back at a discount if he wants to stay in Chicago. But clearly, this is kind of where I thought the Cubs was going to be. I looked like a fool early in the season when they got hot in May. Not that, maybe this team's better than I thought. But look, 9 games back here, almost 100 games played. They are not catching the Milwaukee Brewers. This is sell time for Chicago.
You and I 100% agree. And again, I don't see anyone in this Central catching Milwaukee. Cincinnati had their chance last weekend.
Now Castellanos was rumored that he was going to be dealt.
Yeah, again, the Reds probably won't sell, even though they probably should. When we get back, we'll look at Yankees, Red Sox, and Gold Cup resuming today. That's next here on the Green Zone on VSiN. Football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for college and pros NFL seasons here in 2021. Our experts provide profiles on every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishers, and player awards. Each guide's only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy today or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. A lot of Wes Reynolds in both of those guides, especially the college football betting guide.
Yeah, we've got a lot of myself, Matt Humans, I know contributed, JBT, Bruce Marshall, everybody that put this thing together. It'll be out, I believe, on Thursday. So putting the finishing touches on it over this weekend.
Be on the lookout for that next week. Whenever Matt Humans always mentions that read, he always says that you've done the most of anyone. So
he's overselling that, though. I mean, not like when Greg says he's spearheading the college basketball coverage. I mean, I undersell. I don't oversell here.
Wes, quick update. Let's just update the golf real quick. A new co-leader has emerged. Cameron Champ just had a bogey, so he's gone from the mix. But it's Roger Sloan, and it's a ticket you have now at the top.
I have the favorite now in the tournament. That would be Bo Hoag right now at 5-1. But look, I've had the favorites, including the outright favorites on Sunday in running twice this summer, that being Bubba Watson at the Travelers, and that, of course, being Joaquin Niemann at the Rocket Mortgage, also Troy Merritt, and didn't come away with trophies in any of those. So, obviously, a lot of golf to play. But Bo Hoag right now, 5-1. Gary Woodland won back. He is 15-2. Charles Schwartzel, 10-1. Matt McNealy, 10-1, along with Johnny Vegas, Cam Tringali, at also at 10-1, Roger Sloan 11-1, Ricky Fowler 16-1, Cam Champ, I believe, just made a double, so he now drifts up to 20-1. So we'll refresh the leaderboard right now. Roger Sloan and Bo Hoag, your co-leaders at 11 under par. The group at 10 include Pat Perez, who's on 18 right now, about to finish up his round. Jimmy Walker, another guy that we have not seen in a long time, who's his major championship exemption now from winning at Baltusrol at the PGA Championship is now up. Of course, he's battled Lyme disease. So, you know, you've seen him really struggle. Right now, he's 150th in the FedEx Cup points. So to keep that card, got to get to that 125. So Jimmy Walker, 10 under par. Charles Schwartzel at 10 under par. Also Gary Woodland. One guy I also have that might be able to post a number, and I took him at 301. My old buddy from Indiana, BVP, Bo Van Pelt from Richmond, Indiana, pride of joy of Richmond, is now at 9 under par. He is trying to get in that hunt here. Of course, he missed about 4 years with various injuries, including a torn labrum. So BVP now playing on the front nine, the ninth hole, his 18th. He is at 9 under, along with Ricky Fowler, Cam Champ, K.H. Lee, Cam Tringali, Matt McNealy, Johnny Vegas, Ryan Armour. So a lot of guys within two shots of the lead here. So I would don't count your tickets here. If you're live, if you got anybody basically in the top 15.
Yeah, no, crowded leaderboard right now in the Twin Cities. And again, what would the number you would make right now that's going to need to win this thing? And I know we'll have a better gauge tomorrow when you or I are on the show, but 18 probably? 17?
Probably so. I think Michael Thompson won with 19 last time out. The two winning scores here have been 19 and 21 under par, so I felt if you're at 20 under, you're probably going to win or at least be in a playoff, but it might be high teens at this standpoint.
Wes, let's go to a baseball game that's going to start at the top of the next hour. The Yankees losing in excruciating fashion on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Garrett Cole pitched very well for four innings, and then Rafael Devers happened in the fifth en route for a Red Sox victory a night ago. Tonight, they'll send Jameson Taillon to the bump. The Yankees will. Nathan Eovaldi, the all-star for the Sox, and the Sox are a big favorite tonight, minus 180 at BetMGM with a total of 9. Wes, and look, you never would have expected before the year for the Yankees to be potential sellers at the trade deadline, but if they lose these next two and are swept out of Boston by the Red Sox, the Yankees will be 11 games back of the Red Sox and possibly 10 if Tampa handles their business in Cleveland the next 2 days behind the Rays. So it has gotten very bleak very quickly yet again for the Bronx Bombers.
Boy, didn't it seem like Thursday's game where Brooks Kreske came on and threw, I believe, like four wild pitches.
Yep.
Wasn't all on him, too. Rob Brantley was like a snail trying to save the. But he kept throwing the splitter. He kept throwing that sign down, and it's like he kept throwing it, but he kept throwing it in the dirt and throwing it outside, and all those wild pitches got Boston the win. And that almost seemed like, I don't want to say sealed the Yankees' fate, but, man, it put them in jail. So you look at the matchup today, though. Jameson Taillon, by and large, all season has been kind of a disappointment. But he's been better in his last three starts. He's only given up 3 earned runs, gone 18 and a third, 147 on the ERA. This is a guy that has a 460 on the ERA so far this year and about 458, just a couple ticks better on the xFIP. So do I want to buy into Taillon in terms of his resurgence? But I also got to look at Yankees at the dish. And if Brett Gardner's hitting 6 in your lineup, that's not a good sign for the New York Yankees because, of course, Aaron Judge and Gio Urshela were in the COVID protocol. So, you know, just looking at the lineup, they got to have a lot of no-names go ahead and deliver here. And they're getting a guy, Nathan Eovaldi, who's pretty much owned them this year. He's only given up 3 earned runs and 3 starts, 18 and 2/3 innings. So Eovaldi has absolutely pitched well. And you're kind of wondering if he's going to get regression, and maybe he's not. So I'm just looking at the lineups here. And as I mentioned, some of the names, Gardner, by the way, back in the 2 spot. But you've got Greg Allen, Chris Gittens, Estevan Florial, Rob Brantley. Doesn't exactly send shivers up your spine in Fenway Park here. By the way, Jaron Duran, who's a decent little hitter against right-handed pitching, is called up from AAA Rochester for Boston today, and he is in the lineup. So I can understand why this money has moved to the Boston Red Sox. Now, I think 180 here at BetMGM, that's a little rich, I think, in this spot. So I am not going to lay it. I'd be taking rather than laying, but what I'm likely going to do is going to be passing.
I'm passing, too. And even though I would probably only look to the Red Sox here, that price, like you said, just it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And maybe Jameson Taillon has found something.
Well, I mean, it's only a three-game sample size. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far.
Yeah.
And also, too, at some point, again, the lack of length from Taillon is also a concern. And the Yankees bullpen, which was such a calling card earlier in the year, Aroldis Chapman, the first 2 months of the season, mm-hmm. was awesome. And he's completely lost it.
Yeah.
And it's not just him. Even Chad Green, was the de facto closer during Chapman's struggles, has lost it as well. So, tough go so far for the Yankees. And they need one today. They're a big dog today. Plus 150 on the Bronx Bombers if you want them at Fenway against the first place Boston Red Sox. When we get back, we'll do a little Olympics talk. A little Olympics, a little soccer. Mix it all in next here on the Green Zone on Visa. More than just the final score with a one-game parlay at BetMGM. One-game parlay is the exciting new feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 different bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account or sign up to try one-game parlay. If you're signing up for an account, make sure to use the bonus code VSIN600, and your first bet will be risk-free up to $600. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. And in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. The promotional offer not available in Nevada. And that's all the time we have on the show today, Wes. He's Wes Reynolds. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you here on the Green Zone. Brought to you by BetMGM, as always. Wes,
I was like, that was a mouthful.
Hey, look, that read, I've been doing that a version of that read all week on a numbers game because
yes.
I've been filling in for Gil. Take advantage of the promotion, guys. Take advantage of getting
absolutely
free bets for sure with BetMGM. Wes, let's go to the Olympics here and look. We talked about it in the open. You have to really be on the ball this year
mm-hmm.
for your bet if you're betting the Olympics because of the time zone difference. And you have to be aware of what's live and what's not when you're watching it. So if you're, again, in a newer jurisdiction that have a lot more live options than we have here in Nevada, you have to be making sure that you see in the top right or bottom right of your screen the little live icon if you're looking
yes.
for something. So don't be alarmed and like, oh, I'm watching this 3-on-3 basketball, which, by the way, I was watching the 3-on-3 a little bit earlier today, Wes, the reruns. It is so much fun to watch it, but it's so much like just watching pickup basketball
yeah.
that it's just kind of throwing me for a loop, in all honesty, on those 3-on-3s.
Was it? Did you think the quality of the basketball? I have not watched it yet.
Did
you think it was better than the big three?
Oh, no. The men's quality, because I watched a little of one of the men's matches. I believe it was the Rock, which are the Russians in this go around, yes, and Japan. The quality was the big three quality is much better. On the women's side, Team USA has a really good squad over there, including two Las Vegas aces in Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young.
Mm-hmm.
Young replacing Katie Lou Samuelson, who tested positive for COVID in the lead up to the games. But the women's quality, and again, it may just be because Team USA is really good, the women's quality seemed much better than the quality of the men's play was.
Yeah, and this is obviously the first time for that event doing this 3-on-3 tournament. By the way, those 3-on-3s I know are available at BetMGM. When you look mm-hmm. at Olympic betting here at BetMGM, our sponsor for this program, do have a few things up. Do have the basketball, do have the tennis, do have the soccer, a lot of the team sports. Now, some of the shops in town are not necessarily offering the individual stuff, or maybe they will, like for the major track races when we get to the finals, they might not be offering them before the heats, like somebody like a DraftKings might, or a lot of the offshore markets certainly will. So pay attention to that, and obviously pay attention to which outs that you have that are going to be able to offer these various sports, whether they're going to offer the gymnastics or diving or something like that. That will not be offered here, by the way, in Las Vegas, simply because it's a gaming regulation, because it's judging. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to offer that here, but in certain other states and certain other jurisdictions, and obviously at faraway places, you're going to have that stuff offered. So keep in mind when you're looking for that, not only looking at the live icon, as you mentioned, Jeff, but kind of looking at the schedule, looking to see what stuff is on, whether it's on your Peacock or your Olympics channel, or your streaming or NBC or wherever. So you'll get some live coverage in the overnights and in the very early mornings, but by and large, like what we're seeing with this afternoon coverage here in this studio on one of our monitors, everything on delay now, of course, because it's like 4:49 in the morning in Tokyo.
Yeah, and so definitely, again, just make sure you know, and also, too, make sure you're betting on the right event.
Yeah.
I know that may seem simplistic, but there's so many events that you have to make sure you're actually betting the right person in the right event, especially swimming and track and field.
And also some of the smaller sports, like what we saw last night, we got started with some of the combat sports, judo mm-hmm. and taekwondo and, you know, weightlifting, and you're going to get into, you know, wrestling and all that stuff. So you're going to have all these different weight classes. So, you know, and you know, a 48 kilo can look like a certain other number. So you got to know the weight classes that you're doing, obviously the different swimming events. Some people are going to put up prices before the heats start, and some people it might not be until like the final. When you get the final eight in like one of the swimming races, or you get into one of the track and field races here in the second week. So definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, you and I see eye to eye on that. Again, as always, and again, it really does sound like the sum would be like, what are these guys talking about? Of course, I'm going to bet on the right event on the right day. But hey, again, there are a lot of similarities here. If you're looking to bet someone in a butterfly and, mm-hmm. and swimming and accidentally bet them in the breaststroke,
yeah,
you're out of luck there.
Exactly, because you got swimmers doing multiple events like Katie Ledecky. But if you're looking for Katie Ledecky, just look for the minus behind the numbers next to her name, and that's what you're going to find. This is a Michael Phelps situation. Katie Ledecky, I think, already probably is the greatest American female swimmer. So she's going to be, I think, in like 5 or 6 events.
Ledecky might already be the greatest women Olympian in American
Absolutely.
History.
Absolutely. Now, really her and Simone Biles, because that's one of the things about these Olympics too. We really, I mean, putting the NBA players aside and the professionals and some of the ladies soccer team, the two big stars for the Americans in these Olympics are Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky. There's not like a ton of these stars this time around. I think possibly because it's such a far away Olympics, because it's 16 hours ahead of Pacific time, and also the fact that COVID-19 still rearing its ugly head, especially over here in Tokyo with no spectators at these events. So you know, trying to provide the hype, and it's just been a really weird year from a sports schedule. One quick update I do want to get to. Varsho, 2-run shot, scores himself and David Peralta for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So if you got Alec Mills and the Cubs in the first 5 innings, you're going to need a run in the bottom of the 5th.
Yes, again, the Diamondbacks trying to avoid
They've been scrappy of late. They just swept the Pirates.
They're still horrible, though.
They are bad. They are bad, but at least they're giving you some efforts. Like, I mean, that's what I always say about baseball. Even bad teams win 60-some games. Now, it might be a little bit of a struggle for this team to get to 60, but, you know, I mean, these guys at least, I think, are trying to compete. They're a bad team, but they really should have taken two or three from the Cubs out in Arizona last week. And you got a Cubs team that I think is very much uncertain of what they're going to do. They're going to sell, but how much are they going to sell?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the Diamondbacks, we know, would be sellers. The only piece that that is healthy right now that I would say would be really worth it, there may be two.
Escobar
and Merrill Kelly would be the only two that I would
Merrill.
Look at.
Oh, love Merrill. He's about the only time I bet on the Arizona Diamondbacks is when he is on the mound.
And he is pitching today. So,
yes.
Again, 2-2. Alec Mills really having a struggle here in the fifth inning. Has just walked another 2-2 in the top of the fifth inning. Wes, I want to go over to a little soccer here. You've been cautious in this Gold Cup just because of the lack of talent in comparison to what the Mexican squad mm-hmm. and the American squads are. Those are the two favorites in the futures market. Mexico in action later tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern scheduled start. More likely going to be closer to 10:30, maybe even 11, depending on how long the Qatar-El Salvador match
yeah,
goes.
Because that's the only reason why. Because one of the things about soccer, I'm always, when I see people on sport betting Twitter that don't really bet soccer, but it's like the only thing going on, so they'll will bet it. And they're like, that's the one thing about soccer. When they say this stuff starts at 3 p.m., they mean 3 p.m. None of this like in the NBA where it's like tip-off's supposed to be at 05 and then they don't get going until about 25 or something like that. But yeah, you're mentioning both of these games in Glendale, Arizona tomorrow. USA and Jamaica Mon will play at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas as part of a doubleheader tomorrow. But starting with Mexico and Honduras, El Tri, I think, has been very solid. They got 7 points, and they didn't concede a goal in group play. But all the matches have been pretty close between these guys. Honduras had to settle for second in Group D. They lost 2-0 to Qatar. Qatar, welcome back, Cotter, whatever it is, on the final day
welcome
of group
back,
play,
Cotter, good.
nevertheless. So, look, Mexico, I mean, they've got a lot more questions than answers, probably. They have some injuries on this team. Chucky Lozano had an injury in the opening draw against Trinidad and Tobago. Chicharito got left off the squad at the start of this tournament, so they couldn't add him. So Chicharito actually has been out for the last couple weeks for the LAFC team with a calf issue. So Mexico's had a lot of injuries. They have not been at full strength. Honduras has been really hit with the injury bug as well. So, you know, when I was looking at this in terms of how do I try to find value if I want to bet this, maybe betting Mexico over 1.5 on the team total, I think, could be an option. If you're going to lay 1.5, you're going to get plus money. So if you want to say Mexico is going to win by 2 goals, but I would probably be looking to attack the team total on El Tri this evening.
I would look to Paul Carr, of course, one of our experts that we have on from True Media Sports and ESPN, like the Mexico on the Asian handicap.
Yes.
Laying a goal and a half. So you have an out, basically, if they only win by one there. So that's the way he's looking at that.
And that'll give you plus money if you do 1.5, because right now at BetMGM, it's -1, but it is $1.50 tag attached.
No, 100%. By the way, the other match, I like Qatar to win that one, but I'm not laying the price that we see
Qatar,
right now.
Qatar, welcome back, Qatar. You like them to get out of El Salvador.
Yeah, they're El Salvador has fashioned themselves very well so far. When we get back, Mike Piriano joins us next here on the Green Zone.